Hello, brothers and sisters. It has been a while that I last saw you or preached in the English worship service. Hope you are all keeping safe and healthy. As Pastor Tom mentioned, this is the 40 days after Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended to heaven. Easter, 40 days after Easter. So it's a very important event. Let's remember our Lord and what he recommended us to do before he ascended to heaven. He said, you have to go to the world and preach the gospel until I come again. So today I would like to share with you a message which is somewhat related to this. The topic of today is God calling our attention to the coronavirus pandemic? We are all suffering from the coronavirus pandemic right now, being locked down at home. There are a lot of death and suffering. Does God actually use this event, this coronavirus event, to get our attention? So that's the topic I would like to share with you. The passage I use is Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Our Lord Jesus Christ promised to come back after his ascension. And then when they come back, there'll be judgment on this world. So the topic today is God trying to draw our attention through the coronavirus pandemic? Every day you heard about cases, confirmed cases all around the world. There's millions of cases nowadays around the world. There's a global explosions of the cases. And many people pass away, deaths. Some loved ones, when they're dying, they cannot see their loved ones. They cannot say goodbye because the doctor's afraid that there'll be a spread of the virus. So relatives are not allowed to get to near the patients. So even the loved ones, when they die, you cannot say goodbye to them. How miserable is it? How miserable is it? Some of the nurses are very good. They use an iPad or iPhone and let the patient talk to their relatives before they pass away. Not just health or physical health or death. The world is facing a big economic crisis. According to the US government, in the month of April, the unemployment rate of U.S. jumped to 14.7%. And in May, it can go to more than 50%. The May is the month of graduations. Many graduates were happy, but there's no commencement or very sparsely attended commencement. And also after graduation, there are no jobs there. It's a tough year to graduate. Small business get closed, restaurant get closed. So many people lose jobs and companies declare bankruptcy. So the world is facing a major financial crisis. There's a vicious cycle. When people have no income, they have no money to buy. When they have no money to buy, a lot of products produced by factories are not sold. What happened? Company has to lay off more people. When there are more people laid off, more unemployment, and then more people will not have money to buy. It becomes a vicious cycle. So people in the United States are divided into camps. Let us start our business now. Forget about lockdown. If we do not die from COVID-19, we'll die from starvation. So don't ask us to close the shop. Let us open. But other people say that, no, be patient, maybe wait a little more, because otherwise, if you open too fast, too quickly, what happened? All the six weeks of lockdown at home will be in vain. They will go back to this explosion again. Then we have to lock down again. So be patient. Flatten the curve. So United States now is divided into two camps of thought. Let's open up. The other say, people say, don't rush. Let's do it gradually. Don't rush. Being trapped at home, a lot of people get very anxious, even depressed. So coronavirus pandemic has caused a lot of grief. It's just like the dark cloud, a dark cloud hanging over our head, all dark. The many may ask, is there a silver lining to this dark cloud? I think there is. When people suffered from the illness, die from the illness, and the economic crisis is threatening many people's livelihood, I think there's a silver lining to the pandemic. For example, when Italy was in lockdown, because Italy is faced with a lot of deaths, a lot of cases, what happened? They were trapped in the house, but the Italians were very creative. They sing at the balconies to encourage one another. They sang their national anthem to encourage one another. You can see the resilience of human spirits. You can see the first responders, including doctors, nurses, even firemen, policemen, or ambulance drivers. They risked their life to save other people. We thank them for that. Those first responders fighting the coronavirus war for us at the frontier. Our church, Brother Jingwei, and our church organized. The local church, the local organizations, or some Chinese church, when Wuhan virus situation broke out, we collect money and then bought a lot of masks or protection equipment and sent to Wuhan. And this is the letter from the Wuhan hospital to thank our church plus other organizations here in town. And after the situation of China calmed down, what happened? Then there was explosion. There's explosion in America. What happened? We shift our direction. So Jingwei and other people, Pastor Tong, then take this mask to the hospital and give the local hospital and to protect the health of our caretakers, the doctors and nurses. So you can see the charity work. In a time of crisis, there's a spirit of mutual help, helping each other. And that's wonderful. That, I think, it also shows a silver lining of this dark cloud, the pandemic. And so, surprisingly, the weather. A lot of so-called polluted cities in India, in China, and around the world, all of a sudden, get cleaned up. Because people do not drive, factories stop manufacturing, the environment enjoy a break. There's a decrease in pollution. At a personal level, we also, in some way, enjoy the benefits of the pandemic. You get more time now, standing with your family. After all, you cannot go out. Early March is my wife Shirley's birthday. Ethan got a job after graduation last year, got a job from a consulting firm in New York. And he said, I would like to fly back to celebrate my mother's birthday. And they said, no, don't, because coronavirus just broke out, so maybe you get infected on the plane. But he said, I need to come back to Colombia. And indeed he comes. So here you can see the picture. Shirley was very happy, and then both myself and son were just celebrating her birthday. And you know what? Right after that, then the news spread out that there's an explosion of cases, of COVID-19 cases in New York. And Ethan got trapped. He cannot go back. Luckily, his job nature is that he doesn't have to go back to office to work. He can actually work online. So Evan has been with us for 2 months already, enjoying 24 hours. So in the daytime, each of us have our busy work. And in the nighttime, we enjoy the dinner together. We have some sharing devotion. Sometimes we watch a movie together. You know, since Ethan going to college, we do not have that kind of time. Luxury, have my son, our son with us for such a long time. Eh? That is a silver lining of the pandemic to our family. I think you too do the same. Now family has more time together. A sister in a student fellowship said, she used to have a lot of books she wanted to read, but she is so busy about schoolwork and running around. She doesn't have time to do that. But now because of lockdown, she has more time now. She can go back to read some of the books she really want to read for a long time. We get more reading time now. There will be another, I think, is another benefit, another silver lining of the pandemic. You also have more time to reflect. After all, you can see suffering. People around you, your friends lose jobs. Your friends who die because of the virus situation, or you worry about how the world can sustain given the economic crisis. So you think about why so much suffering? What am I doing here? What's the meaning of life? So now that you have more time, and then suddenly your busyness gets stopped, and given the environment with such suffering, you start have some more time to reflect. To me, that is another silver lining of the coronavirus pandemic. In the past, we're so busy rushing from one side to another. The whole day gets so busy. When we get so busy, we lose our direction. We lose our vision of life, even as a Christian. Coronavirus is just like bang. You're running full speed on the road, driving at 80 miles per hour, 75 miles per hour, and suddenly, boom, you have got to stop. You're nowhere, you're locked down. When you're locked down, you start to think again. Why am I here? Why there's a lockdown? Why are there so many people dying? It's a serious problem, and we have time to think about it. Just like you're rushing on the road and suddenly in front, there's a big virus. Slow down. Slow down and think. It's just like God telling us, you got to slow down and think. What's the direction? What's the meaning of life? Are you using your time wisely? Are you living your life according to my will? You have been so busy running around, maybe you lose your directions, lose the vision of your life. So I think that is another silver lining of the pandemic. It forces us to reflect. Why such a large scale of global suffering? So many pass away. What's the message God trying to tell us? What does God want us to learn from this virus pandemic? We have to keep thinking. What's the origin of suffering? Now, I cannot definitely say what's the cause of the current situation. Maybe because of human sin, or maybe it's because of for God's glory, or maybe the God's ways to show us another new way of doing evangelism, Great Commission, using Zoom. So the Bible tells there are many factors that lead to suffering. Some is because of human sin, some not because of someone's sin, it's because of to glorify God. But we know that from the Bible, the origin of suffering, actually really the very origin of suffering came from human sins. That we know fairly sure because it was written by the Bible, in the Bible. If you trace back to the Old Testament, The very first book is Genesis. We talk about initially when God made all things is in perfect shape. But it's a change of environment. There's a change in the natural environment. What caused the change? Is human sins. As Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate from a tree, the forbidden fruit, then what did God say to him? Because he said to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife, you ate the fruit from the tree, which I command you not to, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat fruit from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you will return. So because of human sins, the mankind has been cursed. We, men, as the breadwinner, we have to toil, work very hard from day to night in order to make a livelihood for our family. We have to sweat. Family all is under a curse because of human sins, not just ourselves. Look at this verse. Curse is the ground because of you. So our sin not only affect ourselves, but also affect all the things around. Affect whole natural environment, the universe, because of human sins. So the origins of suffering you can trace back is human sins. So we can conclude that the very existence of coronavirus actually indirectly comes from sins, human sins. But many people say that no, Dr. Kwok, human being is advancing because you can see every day we have new inventions, technology is going so fast. We have iPhone, we have people going to the moon, we have satellite. It's wonderful as technology accelerates the world, the mankind is all improving. We are on an upward trend. So don't be so pessimistic. We're getting better. Is it really true? Now, tracing the history of mankind, you can see that there's a stagnant of technology around about Middle Ages. After that, there's Renaissance. And when Renaissance, there's Age of Enlightenment. Martin Luther King, the Protestant Church came out. And then from then on, there's science and the so-called rational thinking, philosophy. And people try to think, analyze, and science brings a lot of discoveries. Then we have the industrial revolutions, and there's material advancement, inventions, and then go on and on and on. So indeed, as far as knowledge is concerned, we are on a very straight exponential upward path, which is good. Now, during this period, you know, there's one philosophy called scientism. Now, scientism is not science. Scientism is ideology, is philosophy. What does scientism tell? In science we trust. Because when science is so helpful with so much discoveries, then a lot of people are saying that science is going to solve all the human problems, including starvation, health, even people's wars. Because of science, we know how to do it. Now we can solve all the human beings suffering, all the problems. So they believe in science. It's a belief, it's ideology that science is the ultimate truth that can solve all the problems of human. Now all these actors are in the hands of God. You know that in the Old Testament already, God through his servant Daniel already prophesied it. Now you go to the book of Daniel, which has a lot of revelations, a lot of predictions, prophets about end times. And here in the last chapter of Daniel is an interesting statement. Daniel 12:4, it says, but you, Daniel, rolled up and sealed the words of the scroll until the time of the end. You can see that, until the time of the end. And at the time of the end, what will happen? Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. So here the point is that according to the Old Testament prophecy through Daniel, prophet Daniel, he says there will be an end of this world. At the same time, what are the symbols, symptoms or signals of this end of the world? Two things. One, the knowledge will explode. And then many people will go here and there. The time of the world increased knowledge. This graph shows you the number of publications in journals, in scientific magazines. Now, 99.5 is one number. You can see in 2010, just because of about maybe 15 years or so, you can see there's exponential growth. It's just amazing how the knowledge of mankind just accumulate so fast, just like that. So it's actually fulfilled what Prophet Daniel said. There's a knowledge, increase of knowledge. And Daniel also said, many people in end time will go here and there. I bet when Daniel wrote this, he did not understand, because at that time in Palestine, in the Babylon, people seldom walk, go to one place to another. It's so troublesome. It takes a long time to go from one place to another. And so few people take long journey. So when he wrote down, many will go there and here quickly, in the end time, he may not be able to comprehend what's going on. But to us, it's very easy to understand. What happened? You go to the airport. Every day, so crowded. Everybody fly here, go to China, Europe, and all the place. Some people even so exaggerate. I fly to London to have tea, coffee with my friend, and a Friday for dinner in New York. At the end time, many people will go from here and there very quickly. That is already foretold by the prophet Daniel long time ago. But unfortunately, those are signs of the end time. So my question is scientific advancement really lead to advancement of mankind in all? Is technological flow through going to solve all the human problems? I don't think so. Because I believe in the Bible. When science was being elevated to a very high level, when scientism became a dominant thought, what happened? During the Second World War, during the 20th century, the two largest wars in human history broke out. Ironically, those scientists in Germany, those scientists in the UK, just used the scientology to create weapons to kill each other. And there, in this time, in Europe, existentialism arose. Sartre, Nietzsche, all these big scholars, not that they have, after dinner, they have time to wander around and think about philosophy. It's just they're trapped in a time when it's very ironic, when human science is so advancing, yet they're killing each other. So they ask the question, why do people exist? What's the meaning of life? To me, the world actually, instead of going uphill, is going downhill. Because the Bible, Matthew 24:12 says, although people get more and more intelligent, wiser knowledge, but what happened? Their heart became colder and colder. He says, because of increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. You can see there, maybe a lot of material enjoyment we have, what happened? People get very egoistic. Just think about themselves. And Jesus, in the same passage, in predicting what happened in the end days, he says, nation will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. You can see earthquakes are getting more and more in 20th and 21st century. All these are just the beginning of birth pains. Just the beginning. While we are enjoying a busy life, you know what? The world of the earth is cracking. The growth is cracking. So to me, when I ponder upon what do we learn from the coronavirus pandemic, I think perhaps God wants us to slow down. Perhaps he's trying to call attention. Perhaps he's using the virus to get our attention. He wants to send a message to us. That is, the end time is near. The same passage in Matthew 24:32, it says, Jesus said, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. So you clever people, learn from a tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. So from the trees, the fruit, you know that the season's coming. It's also when you see all these things, we talk about nations, famines, earthquakes, the human heart getting cold, you know what? This is near, right at the door. What is near the door? The end times. The same passage, chapter 24:37-39, is the passage that just read in the beginning of this message. Let me read it again. As it was in the days of Noah, so Jesus used Noah as an analogy, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. You know, Noah, when he was building the ark under the instruction of God, he also shared the gospel. He said, rain is coming, flood is coming, please get onto the ark before it's too late. Other people say, you're crazy, we seldom see rain. Where comes the flood? Where comes the water? Where does the water come from? So what happened? They ignore Noah's advice. In order, they keep doing what they do. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving. There's nothing wrong with eating, drinking, marrying, and giving. But if your whole life is about that, it's trouble. They knew nothing of what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So the Lord Jesus Christ used this analogy that the flood is just like the last judgment. The ark, in a way, represents Jesus Christ himself. Get to the ark before it's too late. Otherwise, at the end time, all will be swept away. So another silver lining to me of this coronavirus pandemic is that it forces very busy people to slow down and really reflect, are we heading to the right path? To the right direction for our life? For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. As the medical advisors say that, yes, because of economic situation, we have to open up, but do it gradually. Keep social distance, make sure that task tracing, otherwise there'll be another explosion. And then what happened? You'll push us back 6 weeks ago when we have locked down, we have to do the lockdown again. But what happened? Everybody swarmed to the beach. And they say, don't bother us. This is our freedom. This is my freedom. This is a free country. And restaurant defiled the order of social distancing. All packed up. Drinking and dining. The medical experts looking at this situation are really worried. I think we have to open up, but gradually. We have to do it gradually, but otherwise it'll peak again and then the hospital will not be sustainable. There will be more deaths. Not just deaths of old people, but the nurses, doctors will also die. Just because we want to dine. We want to eat and party. human hearts are cold and selfish. This is a sign of end times. I'm sorry to give you a very gloomy picture, but I think through distress, suffering, I think we grow as Christians. Reflecting upon my life, how do I go fast in my life? It's just when I suffer. When there are hindrances, when there are blocks in my road, when my plan, suddenly I have to detour. Then I have to reflect, what's wrong with me? How can I do better to bypass so that I will not suffer again? I learn most when I'm under adverse situation. So to me, the coronavirus pandemic, another silver lining is for us to learn to grow spiritually, to think deep about human conditions and think deep, what can we do? So as a serious Christian, I challenge you. The clock is clicking. The clock is really ticking. First, we talk about human suffering comes from sins, directly or indirectly. So first of all, ask ourselves, are there something that we are doing right now that do not please God? If there's something, repent. Reflect upon yourself and see whether you sin against God. And then kneel down and ask God for forgiveness, number one. The second question, reflect upon ourselves, how are you using time? Are you using your time wisely? Or every day you just rush? You just rush your own agenda and seldom think about what God wants to use your life for. Are you using your time wisely? When you're back to the normal, are you going to reconfigure it, your life, how you're going to spend your life? Make it more meaningful. Third, pray for our people. Because we love the people, whether Christians or non-Christians, whether Chinese, Americans, Europeans, Indians, we're all in the same boat. When they suffer, we also grieve. So pray for them. Pray for the current situations. Hopefully the vaccine will come quickly, the medicine will come quickly. And then people around us also learn from this, that they will not suffer in vain. They learn from this lesson. Otherwise, so many pass away for nothing. So pray for the people. Since the coronavirus situation broke out in China, I regularly fast and pray for my countrymen in China, for Americans, for Italians, now Latin Americans, Mexicans, Indians, those poor countries, they don't have enough equipment. They will die. They are fellow human beings. I feel that I'm so helpless. What can I do? I'm trapped in my home. What can I do? At least I can fast and pray for them. If you're physically healthy, I challenge you to do that the same. And share the gospel whenever you can. Just like Noah, when he built the ark, he did not stop. He went out to share the gospel, saying that the flood is coming. Today marked the 40 days after Easter. This is the day when Lord Jesus ascended. And before he ascended, he said, "Water, you will receive the answer from whoever comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." He said, "I will come again during the end time. But in between, you have one assignment. Share the gospel whenever you can. Not just here, but around the world. So many people will not perish, but receive salvation." Brother Jingwei, a I mentioned about Pastor Jingwei shared a mask with a lot of people in the hospital. Pastor Tom also took some of the masks to the hospital to help them. You know what? We are church also to share gospel. Brother Guilin, another professor in the China side, because of lockdown, he said, okay, let me have a Sunday school evangelism. What did he say? Since this internet, it's easy to call people. He called people in China, his friends in China, and organize Sunday school and share the gospel with them. And I attend the class. So what happened? And I see a lady who is faithfully attending Sunday school every week. So I asked Guilin and we set up Zoom meeting just for her. I go and talk to her and ask what kind of questions she has. Any questions about the gospel? And she did have two questions. So I answered questions and said, oh, that question has been in my house for a long time. Now you help me answer. So I asked, are you willing to receive Christ? She said, yes. So she prayed to receive Christ. During lockdown, we still share the gospel. Paul said, whether it's good time or bad time, whether it's convenient or inconvenient time, you got to share the gospel. Are you doing that? You know that the time is near. Hebrews 11:7 said, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So Noah, while he was spending a lot of years building this big, big ark, getting all these elements, 7 piers, 1 pier into the ark, at the same time, he went out to tell his friend, the flood is coming, come to the ark. Otherwise, it's too late. So Noah, besides his work, what happened? He shared the gospel. So brother and sister, share the gospel whenever you can and pray for your friends, relatives, your co-workers. Lately, there's some good news. University of Oxford saying that the vaccine they developed seems to be very promising. When they talk about monkeys, the monkey get immune. So they are trying to do the big level of experiment. And President Trump gave them $1 billion, do it quickly. And this, some of the medicines seems to work. The plasma from those recovery patients, when they inject to the people, they get healed. So the medicine seems rising, the vaccines are becoming so not coming as fast as we want to, but seems there's a path out of the tunnel, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But my worry is, yes, the vaccine and medicine will come. But when it comes, maybe everybody will back to their busy life again. Dining, partying, working, marrying, and that's all for their life. If that's the case, we may be in trouble. You know what? Talking about coronavirus, this is not the first one. That's why it's called new coronavirus. Back in 2002, 2004, there's SARS. You heard about the SARS, actually originated in China, and one of the men in China came to Hong Kong. They live in a hotel, and they spread to some of the tourists, and they brought back to America, to Europe. So SARS quickly from China to Hong Kong and spread around the world. Luckily, the scale was not so big. Yes, there's infections, there's also people die, but not so many. The reason why is that the virus is very lethal. When you get a virus, very easily you'll just die. But the good news is usually this is people who have symptoms, then they become infectious. In other words, when I see you, you're coughing so badly, I can avoid you. So the spread of the corona, the virus SARS was not so bad because people can protect, seeing that you're coughing so much. this time, about 20 years, there's an enormous call called COVID-19. Now, this virus is very clever. Even before people have symptoms, they can already spread. So that's why there's no protection. People just go swimming, dining, going to movie, going to conference, and what happened? They feel very healthy. There's no, people will not see that. These people have a confirmed case. They're not confirmed case. They're pretty healthy people. So what happened? When they speak and smile, they get infected. Other people get infected. So it spreads so fast. Why? Because this is, this before symptoms comes, people can spread already. It's very dangerous. But luckily, what happened? The survival rate of this virus is very high. Maybe over 80% or even 90% people will eventually recover. So although it spread very easily, but the lethal rate, the death rate, is just much lower than SARS. But guess what? Virus will mutate. In fact, people already study COVID-19 already mutate to another virus, which is more lethal and easier to spread. I'm predicting that in future, there will be a new virus, coronavirus, mutated. What happened? People can spread easily before they have symptoms. And what happened? If you get the virus, you die. There's no cure. It's a combination of SARS and COVID-19. And I think this is coming. Why? It's not for me, it's in the Bible. In Revelation 6:8, it says, "During the end times, I look, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was falling close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth." You know what? At the end times, one quarter of the earth population will perish. And one of the reasons is virus. Is God really using the virus to call attention? Attention, please. My children, you're running too fast. You're running so fast, you've forgotten what I tell you. What's the importance of life? How do you use your time? As a Christian, how should you lead your life? Because I'm coming. I'm just afraid when the vaccine comes, the medicine comes, so everything is back to normal. And everything forgot about what happened in 2020, around January to April or May time, people suffer around. They're just too busy. They just forget about it. They forget about many people perish away. Many will die. And this will both die in vain. Because we do not listen. So, brothers and sisters, as we mark the 40 day of ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has a great commission for us. So let me challenge you. Maybe God is telling us, slow down. Think. What are you doing? Are you walking in my will? Grab your time. Time is running out. Do the things according to His will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for giving us time together to worship You. May Your name be glorified on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the virus situations. We pray for the discovery of vaccine. We pray for the discovery of the drugs so that we can return to a normal life. However, we pray more than that. more people on earth will use this time to reflect what's the meaning of life and where are they heading. And that they will be humble to listen to you because you're getting our attention for the virus. Encourage us to share the gospel, to lead a holy life, to glorify your name. Bless our brothers and sisters. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.